Well, good morning. It is so good to be here with you today. Before we get started with our lesson, though, we want to welcome all of our visitors and want you to know how honored we are that you're here. And we welcome you to our service and hope you'll come back at another opportunity that you have. There are a couple of other things that I'd like to mention today as well. First of all, if you are going off to college this week and will not be with us next Sunday, please raise your hand high so that we can see hands. Hands over here. We've got quite a few of our folks that are going back to college. The summer has come to a conclusion, and now it's back to school time for many folks. And we want you to know how much we are going to miss you and what a big part of this congregation that you are. And so we are going to be praying for you and hopeful that things go well for you at school. And we expect that you will be at worship services next Sunday, wherever it is that you are. And we'll look forward to seeing you back at worship services here whenever you have an opportunity to get back home. But we just want you to know how much we love you and thinking about you and praying for you. And then I want to, on behalf of my wife and my family, say a great big thank you to this congregation. Today is our 22nd anniversary here, and I want you to know that these 22 years that we have been with you have been the greatest blessing that we could have ever imagined, and it's because of you that we are where we are, and we are thankful to you for that, and certainly feel blessed to be able to call this our family, and just wanted you to know that on behalf of us, we love you and appreciate you and are so grateful for you. Now, if you would, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, a very familiar passage of Scripture. All of you will remember this particular story, but we're going to read it together today, beginning in verse 41 and going through verse 52. It says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.' And he said to them, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?' And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." You know, you think about this passage of Scripture this morning, and I want us to imagine something together. The first thing that I want us to do is I want us to imagine what it would be like and what it would feel like to lose a child in a crowded place. Maybe you've had this experience before. I can remember several years ago when our youth group took a trip to Six Flags, and we took Callie Faust with us. Well, any of y'all that know that Callie was a pretty rambunctious little girl. And we took Callie Faust with us, and she was there with our group, and we got to looking around for her, couldn't find her. Began to search. We began to get concerned. Can you imagine if it's your child and you're in one of these crowded areas, you know what happens when that takes place. You may have lost them for 3 or 4 minutes, but it feels like it is forever. And as you are searching for them, a lot of things go through our mind. And one of the things is panic and anxiety. And we're thinking about what could be going on and where are they and why can't we find them and why didn't they stay with us? And we are just desperate about that. Can you imagine what they must have been going through over 3 days? They lost Jesus for days. Folks, we'd be at our house. The authorities would have already been called. There would be alerts out. There would be people searching. There would be the police department, everyone. We would be contacting everybody that we could to try to find out. 3 days, can you imagine what they were going through? Well, Mary gives us a little insight into how she and Joseph felt. She said in verse 48 that they were seeking and searching for him in great distress. I can imagine so. Great distress. How do you quantify that? I would imagine they were feeling as parents the same way that any one of us would have felt, in a panic, anxious, upset, distressed feeling. They were seeking him in great distress. Well, I want to make a little spiritual application to this point, actually. You know, this describes a lot of people spiritually. People that have lost Jesus or are separated from him, spiritually speaking, in their life, guess what? They're in the same position, whether they know it or not, that Joseph and Mary were in. They are in great distress. Great distress. Now, what I want us to do is I want us to think about for a moment, where do you look for a 12-year-old boy? I mean, over these 3 days, there must have been things going through their mind. What course of action are we going to take? How are we going to find him? He's gone. We don't see him. And now we're looking for him. Where are you going to be looking for a 12-year-old boy? You just ponder that in your mind, and we're going to come back to it in a few moments. But they may have had a plan of action. But 3 days, folks, they were looking for him. They couldn't find him for 3 days. There's some real good lessons for us in this as well. You know, you think about where they were looking for, and maybe we ask ourselves the same question. Where do you look for Jesus in your life? Because this is the application that I want us to think about today. I want us to think about the searching for Jesus. I want you to start thinking about that. I'm searching for Jesus. I'm trying to find you. I'm looking for Jesus. Just like his parents were looking for him. So where is it that we're going to look for Jesus? You know, I'm not going to even mention the first one yet because I'm going to throw in an extra bonus thought for you today. Because we go back to Luke chapter 2, and it says it in verse 44, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. They realized he wasn't in the group. Now, I don't know what this was. It must have been some large caravan of people who were headed back to their hometown. And so they just assumed, you know, we got this big group of people that's traveling with us, and he's going to be in that group. Well, there is an application that we can make today. You know, I think that there are some people that are looking for Jesus when it comes to the majority. The group. Whatever the group is doing, wherever the group is going, we're just going to follow along with that group. And if the group says that this is the right thing for us to do, and this is how we ought to live our lives, and this is how we ought to behave, and this is what we ought to practice, well, then I'm satisfied with what the group says is okay. And we have a lot of that going on in our nation right now, don't we? You know, hey, this is what the group says is okay to do. This is what's right. We need to change our attitudes about this. You see examples of that in our society even today, don't you? The group mentality. Well, if the majority says that that's the way it is, well, you know what? Scripture says they didn't find Jesus in the group. Do you look for Jesus among family and acquaintances? That's what they did next. It says, supposing him to be in the group, when they didn't find him, they began to search for him among their family and their acquaintances. Is that where you find Jesus today? Now you think about that in Luke 2 and 44. And what about this? How many people believe the way that they believe in religion because that's what mom or dad believed? It's not because I have searched this. It's not that I've been searching for Jesus myself, that I've been looking for him the way that I should. But I have accepted the fact that this is the way mom and dad taught me. This is the way mom and dad believed. And so that's where I get my information. Now, I'm not suggesting that mom and dad are all bad. Jesus wants us to submit to our parents and to be obedient to our parents. And he wants parents that are going to guide us in good things and in good ways. But that doesn't mean that parents are perfect. And I'm here to tell you there's only been one perfect person to live on this earth, and that was Jesus Christ. And that's who we have to go through for salvation. We cannot go through mom and dad for our salvation. So they're looking for Jesus among family. And a lot of people are doing that today. As long as mom and dad thinks that that's okay, or that's what they want to accept, that's what, even if it doesn't fall in harmony with God's Word, that's what I'm going to believe, because I just think that my mom and dad are great. How many of you have heard this statement made before? If my mama or daddy are not in heaven, ain't nobody going to be there. Ever heard that statement made before? Well, as much as we think about our parents and how much we love them, that still is not my decision. I don't get to be the judge. As much as I love them, and I hope that that's the case, God's going to judge. He's going to make that decision. You don't get to stand down here on earth and act in arrogance as if to say, well, I know they're there, and if they're not there, ain't nobody else may. It's not your decision. So it doesn't matter what mom and dad believe. It matters what Jesus says. And a lot of people are looking for Jesus within their family. What about their acquaintances? How about this one? I'm going to step on my toe. What does my preacher say? You're not getting salvation through your preacher, folks. You're getting your salvation through Jesus Christ. That's it. And if your preacher is teaching things that you don't find in God's Word, guess what? You're looking for Jesus in the wrong place. That's what Mary and Joseph were. They were looking for Jesus in the wrong place this whole time. 3 days they were looking for Him and they never found Him, so they weren't looking in the right place, were they? And a lot of times in the religious world, we're not looking for Jesus in the right place either. Now, you give some biblical examples here, but I want to just think about some things also that we might put ahead of Jesus in our life. Not suggesting necessarily that we think that we're going to find Jesus in these places, but there are things that we do that take the place of Jesus in our life, as if this is more important for us. And so if I were to think on the level of a 12-year-old boy, and I were a parent, and I were thinking, okay, where might this kid be? Where is he? These might be some things that would have run through my mind, especially in light of who Jesus was. Number one, might be that I would look for him at the lake or at some fishing place. You know, Jesus lived in the area of Galilee, which is the Sea of Galilee, and he was very familiar with fishermen. In fact, his cousins were fishermen, and when he went to get disciples to follow him, you know who some of the first disciples were that he visited? Fishermen. Jesus knew a lot of fishermen. Maybe he liked fish. We know that he was in a boat quite a bit. They may have said, you know what, I bet you there's a group of folks that are fishing somewhere because I'm sure he likes, let's go check and see if we can find him down there at the lake or at the river or wherever it is. That's what he might be doing. We didn't find him there, and you're not going to find him there. What about this? What about at the carpentry shop? You know, Jesus was 12 years old. They had taken him to Jerusalem, as was the custom, and it was there that these young men were supposed to declare what they were going to do with the rest of their life, which Jesus did, actually. He said, I must be about what? My Father's business. This is my Father's business, teaching the Word of God. That's the business that I'm going to be in. Not the carpenter business, as his father Joseph had been in. I've got a different business to attend to. So here's my declaration of who I'm going to be. But they might have thought, you know what? He likes carpentry. He's been working with his father these years. It may be that he's going to work. We'll find him at some workplace. So maybe they went around to some of the carpenter shops there in Jerusalem and said, hey, have you seen our son? He's gifted in this area, and it might be that he was trying to learn a little bit more about the trade that his father does and get some more training. So go to work. Work. He might be in the workplace. What about this? What about the playground? Now, that would make sense, right? I mean, he's a 12-year-old kid. Maybe he just got caught up with a group of boys, and he was hanging out with them, and they were going out here to play, and they were going to do some fun things. And so he's out at the playground somewhere with those guys having a good time. And you know what? When I say playground, I use this loosely because there are children's playgrounds and there are adult playgrounds that people go to. You've got the ball field. It's a playground for many. You've got the bar. That's a playground for adults. I hear people sometimes, yeah, I go to these places because I really want to be a good influence on folks. Maybe he's at the playground. We'll find him. Guess what? They did not find Jesus at the lake, at the carpenter shop, at the playground. They didn't find him in the majority. They didn't find him among their family. They didn't find him among their acquaintances. I'll tell you where they found him. In God's house. In God's house. The church is God's house today. You think about passage of Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Here Paul is writing to Timothy and he's sharing this message with him so that the people will know how they ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. The household of God is the church. Now I want to link a few things today for us. Here in this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, he says the church is the household of God, but it's also pillar and buttress of the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, as he is praying the high priestly prayer before he goes to Calvary, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In John chapter 1, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, even as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Church, truth. Word is truth. Jesus is the Word. Guess what? The truth. You know where you're going to find Jesus? You're going to find Jesus where the Word's being taught, where that Word is the truth, where He is, and that is found in where? In the church, which is the pillar and buttress of truth. And you're not going to find Him anywhere else. Now you think about Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, which Ben read for us a few moments ago. And here in this passage of Scripture, it talks about how that Jesus is the head of the church, which is what? His body. The fullness of Him which fills all in all. Two things He says there. Number one, says that it is His body. The church is His body. And says also that it is the fullness of Him. You ever heard somebody say, you complete me? Jesus is the head. Church is the body. The fullness of Him. This is the plan that God had all along. This is the mystery that Jesus Christ is the head and that the church is His kingdom, is His body, and Jesus needs His church to function and the church needs to take direction from the head. This all works together. We are the completion of that mystery. We are the fullness of Him. Jesus can't have a kingdom on earth unless He has people in His kingdom. We're the fullness of Him. You're not going to find Jesus someplace else. Now when you think about this further, I want you to understand also this in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23. Paul writes that Jesus is the Savior of the church. And we talked a little bit about this at camp. Dad dealt with it a little bit in his Bible class on the front porch of the cafeteria. Now, what is he saying there? Jesus is the Savior of the church. You know what that means? He is not the Savior of everyone. Now, what do I mean by that? Does He want to be the Savior of everyone? Absolutely. Is heaven large enough for everyone to be saved? Most certainly. He came to save everyone. He wants to seek and save that which is lost, and everybody's lost. He wants everybody to be saved. But let me tell you what He also says here in Ephesians 5:23. He is the Savior of the body. He is the Savior of the church. That's it. Not the Savior of everybody. Now, there are some misconceptions these days in the religious world, even that if you just declare that you believe in Jesus Christ, everybody's included. Guess what? If you're not in the church, you're not. He's not your Savior. He is not the Savior of everyone. He's the Savior of those that believe and obey Him. Even the condition was given in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. There's a condition there. You go on down in John chapter 3 and you're going to find that He talks about believing and being obedient to Him. And if we're not obedient to Jesus Christ, if we are not in His church, in His body, guess what? He is not our Savior. And there will be no salvation at the judgment for those outside the church. This idea that we're all going to the same place doesn't hold water with Scripture. Because Jesus never said, I'm going to save everybody. He said, I'm the Savior of the church. My people. Now, when we think about that, it leads us to this conclusion in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 13 and 27. Here we find where the Apostle Paul, writing again, talks about being baptized into one body. It says, verse 13, for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Well, what is that body? Well, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ. Well, what is the body of Christ? Well, we've already established from Colossians chapter 1, 18 and Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 that the body is the church. You have been baptized into His kingdom, into His body, into the church. Ephesians 1, 3 is clear. All spiritual blessings and heavenly places are in Christ. They're not found anywhere else. So the question today is this: where are you looking for Jesus? You're not going to find Him in all these other places that the world seems to suggest we will. That everybody's okay as long as we're doing good things and trying to do all right, we can find Him. The only place that Jesus is found is in His Father's house, in the church. And that's why it's so important to be a part of that body. This morning, if you're not a part of that body, we want to beg and plead with you to become part of that body. It doesn't matter what anybody else says to you. In this world, doesn't matter what your friends say, what the majority says, what your family says. Doesn't matter what the folks down at the local recreational facility say. It's what the Bible says. It's what the truth says. It's what Jesus says. You're only going to find Jesus in the church, the house of God. So if you need to respond to the invitation this morning and become a member of that body, you can respond, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus, Son of God, to be baptized to wash away those sins added to that body. And if there is something in your life that is not right, you've been taking your cues from somebody else and you need to make that right with the Lord, well, He's ready to assist you. And so are we, while together we stand and sing.